I got a call and got invited to do something next weekend on Saturday night. Now what, did I just say yes right away? No. What am I going to do? I looked at my calendar and I went to chat with Heather to say, hey, are we free? It was actually an invitation to both of us. Is this something we can do? Or any number of times over the last 22 years, our kids have wanted to do something. And they don't just get an invitation and run out the door. Part of the family rules and being considerate of one another, and certainly the younger they were, they would come and say, Mom or Dad, can I go do this? Can I go play with this friend? Or go spend the night with this friend? Or do this or that? And even as they're getting older now and out of college and out of that young age, it's still considerate to tell us where they're going and not just disappear at 11 o'clock at night. So that, and we do that with them too. We try. We've actually gotten in trouble for going walking and not telling anybody. And the girls wake up and are like, where did everybody go? But all of that is to illustrate that part of our family covenant with each other, our family commitment to each other, is to communicate and let each other know and sometimes ask each other what we're doing. And does this suit you for me to do this kind of thing? And it all is to illustrate, in general, that we, human beings, are people of community and responsibility. We're not in this world just for me and myself. But whether you're talking about a family or your neighbors in your neighborhood or the people you work with, we have a common connection and responsibility to each other. Another illustration, we just had a new couple move across the street from us into that house. And we've met them. Actually, Heather's met them. I've waved across the street, but we don't know them well. But they went out of town a week or two ago, and they texted us and said, we're expecting some packages. Would you just pull those off of our front porch and hold them until we got home? And we said, sure. We'd be glad to do that. That's part of that community and responsibility that's just woven into us. I say all that to say that's how it works in Scripture, too. That's how it works with God's people, whether you're talking about the people of Israel in the Old Testament or the Christian community in the New Testament. There are aspects of our spiritual life that are individual. We have to choose to believe in God, to believe in Jesus, to follow God, follow Jesus. But part of what that adopts us into and weaves us into is this commitment to spiritual family, to neighbors, to the world. And so that's what I want to talk about today. To catch you up, again, to recap, we are now in the second half of our summer series. We looked at the Old Testament, and now we are in 7 weeks, seven key themes of the New Testament. Today we're on number 4. We've covered fulfillment, that Jesus is the fulfillment of so much that was spoken of and written of in the Old Testament scriptures and promised by God. We've talked about Jesus teaching about the kingdom of God. It was in just about everything he said and did, and he was announcing it's here, but also it's not yet fully realized. So that kingdom thing, and all these parables and stories and his healings, it all connected to that theme of God's kingdom among us. We talked about the cross and the two aspects of it, that it was at once Jesus's suffering and sacrifice for us, for salvation, but Jesus also held it out as a model for what it means to obey and follow him, that we would take up our cross in similar ways of serving others that he did. And today we come to covenant, and we've already heard the key verse. It's from 1 Peter 2, and Melissa did a great job of talking through the different descriptions there. But I want to talk to you about covenant, and from the title of the sermon, three parts: Abraham, Jesus, and me. And the me includes you. So briefly, Abraham, I'm not going to go back through all that his covenant with God or God's covenant with Abraham entailed, but it can be summed up by saying God came to Abraham and promised to bless him. That had components to it, but to bless him, so that through him, he would bless humanity, the nations, and the world. That's the pattern of that covenant, is God blessed him to be a blessing to others, and a huge scope, not just a blessing to his wife or children or neighbors, but to the nations, to the whole world. And that gets picked up and echoed throughout. I mean, that's really the whole story of the Old Testament, is how then Abraham and his family live in that promise that God has made. So you hear it in the Psalms, like our call to worship today, in Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, and here's the be a blessing part, make known God's deeds among the peoples. It's picked up in the prophets who say to God's people, you have been blessed by God, you've been chosen by God, you are a holy nation, all that 1 Peter stuff. And here's how you fulfill the mission God gave you to be a blessing. Prophets like Micah, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly. Prophets like Isaiah, give yourself on behalf of others, that suffering servant image that Jesus picked up on. And the two aspects of that be a blessing are, the content of it, serving, loving others, caring for neighbor, caring for the nations, caring for the world. And part two is that huge scope, right? It's small and it's large. So that brings us to Jesus, who was descended from Abraham, an heir to that covenant with Abraham that God made, to God's promises. And what Jesus does with the covenant is the same thing that Jesus does with the law, with the sacrificial system, with the idea of king and kingdom that David experienced. I mean, all those parts of the Old Testament that we walk through this summer, Jesus, for each of them, explains them, sometimes in a very new way. He fulfills them in himself somehow, right? Instead of the kingdom of David coming back and King David coming back, Jesus says, I am here to announce God's kingdom is here. And Jesus himself embodies the old sacrificial system. He becomes the final sacrifice, right, for the salvation of the world. The law, he takes all of the consequence of the law and keeping it righteously, and he bears the price for us, for our disobedience. I mean, all those themes, Jesus explains them and fulfills them and embodies them. And he does the same thing with the covenant, which was the great theme of God and God's people in the Old Testament. And the place you see that most clearly, this would have been great if we'd done it on our communion Sunday a few weeks ago, but in that Last Supper with his disciples, and they were gathered around the table, he took the bread and the cup, and this should sound familiar because I say it every time we have communion. He said to them, this bread is my body given for you, and this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. And he is taking the old covenant, and he is saying, it is now fulfilled in me, and I am embodying it in my body and blood, a new covenant. He speaks of the forgiveness of sin, and then, of course, all of his teaching. And what you see then unfold in the New Testament is explaining that old Abraham covenant now for Jesus' people, those who trust in Jesus. So you have the scene at Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit's poured out on the disciples. And instead of just speaking to the local crowd, they speak in languages understood by all these different nationalities that had come near for the festival. And they are speaking to the nations. It's part of that blessed to be a blessing to humanity, the nations, and the world. You see that played out at Pentecost. And that becomes the marching orders for the church. And as you keep moving through the New Testament, you have in Romans, Paul explains the idea that it's not a completely different thing. He builds, the new covenant is built on top of the old covenant. We are actually, the image Paul uses in Romans is, if Abraham and his family were a tree rooted in God's promises, we believe in Jesus, even though we're not Jewish. We are grafted into, we become part of Abraham's family, of God's family. So there's that image of the new covenant binding us in to what God has always been doing and is doing through Jesus. And then in 1 Peter that we, in Ephesians, there's language of those who are near, those are the Jews, and those who are far, the Gentiles, have been brought together as one in the blood of Christ. Those are just a few spots in the New Testament that talks about this covenant made new by Jesus. And like all those other things, Jesus has explained them to us and fulfilled them in himself. That brings me to me and you. And here's really the focus for today. I think we, if you've grown up in the church or you've been around Good Shepherd for any length of time, you get the blessed part, right? God sent his son Jesus to live and teach and suffer and die for us for the forgiveness of sins, for my salvation, for your salvation. We are blessed through Jesus. But the part that's easy to lose sight of or not prioritize or kind of shuffle to the side is, what does it mean then for me to be a blessing? Because that's been from the beginning. Covenant with Abraham, through his children, through all of the Old Testament scriptures, picked up by Jesus through all of the New Testament, we are blessed, we are saved to be a blessing, to be sent. So I wanted to highlight that. Here's some of the places you see that God always holds those together. In the garden, he created humanity, Adam and Eve, male and female. He created them, blessed them, pronounced them good. But he also gave them a mission to serve, to tend the garden, to work the garden, right? To be a blessing in that early world. With Abraham, we've already talked about, God made this covenant to bless him, to be a blessing in the law, right? The laws in the Old Testament are not just for the people of Israel, but they speak to how to treat foreigners, how to be a just nation and people. And their scope is beyond just Israel. They even have laws in there about how to welcome a foreigner into the people of Israel, such as Ruth and the story of Ruth. She is a non-Jewish woman who gets engrafted into the people of Israel by marrying Boaz and becomes one of the ancestors of Jesus. In the Psalms, we already heard in our call to worship this morning the idea of making God's deeds known, that proclaiming the good news. But the very next Psalm, 106, talks about how blessed are those who keep justice. So it's not just the prophets that talk about justice and mercy and kindness and compassion. It's there in the Psalms of Israel as well. That we, because we know God, because we have been saved by God, we are then called to be a blessing, to live righteousness, live mercy and compassion. The prophets we've talked about, Micah, Isaiah, and others, that both blessed and blessing are part of that equation. And Jesus, we've looked at this morning, and 1 Peter, we've looked at this morning. It's woven in together. So I want to try to sum all this up into three things. I have them on a slide here. All three of which are true if you are a believer, if you trust in Jesus Christ. In Christ, there is salvation for all who believe. That is the good news. That is the gospel news. That is the essential blessing of God. In Christ, there is salvation for all who believe. It's also true, the scripture teaches, that in Christ you are part of a community of faith. It's not just me and Jesus, or you and Jesus. We're not just alone out in the woods doing our own thing. New Testament says, let us not forsake the gathering together as believers to worship God and to serve God. If you believe in Christ, you have been grafted into God's family, and that extends all the way back to Abraham, right? But it's this community idea, like how we started today. I have some responsibility to my neighbors, if they call and ask me to get their packages. I have a great deal of responsibility to my family to make sure we communicate well and think of each other. And all the more than in spiritual terms, we are part of a community of faith. And I think most of us, if we proclaim we're Christians, we get number one, and that's the heart of what it means to be a Christian. Number two, If you're here today, or if you're watching today, you probably get that too. That's why you're connected to a church, right? You understand, I should be part of a community of faith, because we sharpen each other, we encourage each other, we take care of each other, we help each other grow. All those things that are a benefit. It's number three, again, that I think sometimes we forget about, or lose sight of, or we don't prioritize. It's that in Christ, not only are we a part of a community of faith, but we are part of a faithful community. That is, a community that is engaged in being a blessing, engaged in loving our neighbor, engaged in being sent out into the world. Some of the New Testament images, we are engaged in being a light and salt in the world. It's all, you know, every time we talk about being the church outside of these walls, it's that number three, being a faithful community. Right? If you come here, you're part of the community of faith, but the faithful community is the one that's sent, that is obedient, that takes up our cross, that follows after Jesus, that does justice and loves mercy and walks humbly with God. All this that we've been talking about all summer, that's a faithful community. It's what we are invited and called and commanded to do if we belong to Jesus. So my challenge question, my homework assignment, my takeaway for you is this question: how will you be part of the faithful community this week? You don't have to shout out an answer. I want you to give some attention into your mind. What does God bring into your mind? Or if nothing is happening now, take some time tonight, maybe before you go to bed, to pray to God and say, well, Robert talked about this idea of faithful community this morning. God, what does that mean for me? What do you want me to do, God? How can I be a part of the faithful community? And then if you get an answer to that or some idea of what God would have you do, pay attention this week and ask God for opportunities to be faithful in that way. That's the question, that's the assignment. If you are inclined to do so, I would love to hear what comes out of that. But you don't have to do that. But it's always encouraging to me that God is at work and moving to hear the stories come back to me. But out of this big topic of covenant in the Bible and Abraham and Jesus, that's the point of challenge that I want to issue this morning, is how will you be and I be part of the faithful community this week? Amen.